The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Now, we went into Sunday what all these things were. But let me drop down into the commentary here in the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. Let me drop down into the commentary. And let me just iterate for you what we're talking about. Rather, in 2022, rather than being preoccupied with material things, our ambition should be to seek first God's kingdom. God's kingdom. 22 and 22. God's kingdom. As we grow the body of Christ, God's kingdom advances. Right? As we grow in the body, God's plan advances. And so our ambition should be to, one, advance the kingdom of God by seeking His kingdom. All right? And, the commentator says, now that's what we should seek first, God's kingdom and righteousness. Righteousness is a dynamic term in our community. I had a guy come to at one time before, come in for a job interview, and he was probably the best CMM operator programmer that I've ever seen. The best. The guy could make a CMM talk. But I knew he had a problem. He had an addiction. And before we interviewed him, I called him by name and I said, Are you sure? Are you clean? Are you going to pass? I said, I'm going to stick my neck out for you, but you got to give me an assurance that you're off the stuff. He looked right in my eye. He said, I am, JC. He goes, I am. He goes, I wouldn't lie to you. This was Wednesday. He said, I've been clean since Sunday. Hadn't touched anything since Sunday. I'm like, you know the test. Goes back 6 months. Honestly, well, who makes a test that does that? I'm like, OSHA? That's called an impairment test. I said, look, if you could commit, we've got EHS, we can get you into a program, we can dry you out. He goes, well, what's the fun in that? At that point in time, on my clipboard, scratch. The best ever. I used to be decent, right? I'd be so intimidated working beside this guy. I mean, he's forgotten or toked away more than I'll ever know. Talented. But his righteousness was, I haven't touched it all week, so I'm clean. You see, that's not God's righteousness. God said to come out from among them and be ye separate. We're to be separated. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Right? So we've got to start seeking God's righteousness in everything that we do. We've got to seek God's kingdom in everything that we do. We have got to be about the Father's business. And you get into, you get in, you got it, if you get into the first January 1, it is amazing what Reinhard Bonnke said. Even Jesus, as a 12-year-old, knew, didn't you not know that I had to be about my Father's business? Mark my word. Why was the church so inept to face COVID Because we haven't been about the Father's business. Because we haven't sought His kingdom. We haven't sought His righteousness. Okay? This is our verse for this year. And this verse is going to, it dovetails right in, as I said Sunday, and I'll get off this and we'll go live. It dovetails right into what we did last year. Remember, last year you have to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. You can't seek the Lord and the kingdom of God first unless you love Him with all your heart, with all your mind. The two are so interconnected. They go together like peas and carrots. Forrest said. Right? You can't disconnect. That's why it was so important. We didn't have a clue. Where the Lord was leading us last year when He threw that verse at us, everybody said, well, I love the Lord. How many of you grew to know that you went out of the year loving the Lord way more than you did coming in because the verse was explained and expounded to, and all of a sudden we realized what it meant to love the Lord. Now that we've established that platform, now that we've established that foundation, going into this year, we're going to seek first, not second. Are you ready for this? When I wake up in the morning, I ain't looking at the cell phone until I talk to Him. I went home tonight and I had some stuff I needed to do. I knew we were coming here, and I did not want to be distracted by the television. Television didn't go on. Haven't been on Facebook since probably around Thanksgiving, other than to check in here. Not interested. Because you know what I found? When I turn away from the noise and I look to Him, man, He is talking. The Lord is talking. The Lord is speaking. And wow, what He is saying. You want to be awestruck? Smith Wigglesworth. You may remember the story. Brother Summerall said he had a newspaper, London Times, tucked up under his coat, and he was going to see Smith Wigglesworth. And Smith Wigglesworth looked right at him and said, you can come in, that cannot. You throw that away. And that was expensive for a guy that went around the world with $17 in his pocket. You know, a 50-cent paper said something. First paper he'd seen in a while, he wanted to read it. He said, I don't do anything until I hear from the Lord. And then for the next hour, that 80-year-old Wigglesworth and that 40-year-old Dr. Summerall, it wasn't Dr. Summerall at the time, but you know what they did? Smith Wigglesworth hugged him, and they began to dance, and they began to praise the Lord for an hour. That'll change your perspective on the day. That'll give you a heavenly perspective on the day. Amen? So we talked about this later on in the year. We talked about this. We need to be that apostolic church. You are in an apostolic church. You are in a church that understands the end times and the events that are coming in the end time. How many of our friends, relatives, and neighbors, by the way, that's two Sundays from now, Fran, I talked with Pastor Glenn today, he said, go get them. I said, I still got your files that you sent me, you left us when we were in the gas station, can I use them? Absolutely. Sick them. You gotta love Pastor Glenn. Sick them. Our friends need Jesus. Our relatives need Jesus. Our associates need Jesus. And our neighbors need Jesus. Friend. And we're going to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then God makes us a promise. Let's get back into this and we'll get over that. God makes us a promise. knowing that as we do so, he, now he is capitalized there, right? So it's a personal pronoun. And when you see a personal pronoun capitalized in there, who are they talking about? God, the one whose kingdom we're going to be seeking in righteousness, right? He has pledged himself, again, capitalized pronoun, with a covenant of faithfulness to respond all these things shall be added to you. Can you handle the truth? There was a movie out in the 80s that said, you can't handle the truth. Well, here's truth. If we seek him and his righteousness, if we do this, it's an if-then statement. It's a contractual agreement. If you do this, I'll do this. And the Lord said, the Lord who cannot lie, says, then all these things. What are all these things? How many of you got a piece of the all right there? What do you need added to your life? Think about it. What is the one thing that you're needing added to your life that may be missing right now? If you get it, raise your hand. This is a testimony. If you get it, I know I've got some all that I'm missing. I've got some all. I need more security in my job. I need more this. I need all these things. Nobody? One, two, three, four. Okay. All these things. See that? With these hands raised toward the Lord, saying, I'm going to seek you and your righteousness. I'm going to seek to advance your kingdom. The Lord says, you know what he's saying? Get this. This is just JC talking. I got to tell you when it's me. But I'm thinking, I got to be able to tell you. You got a pastor that can dream big dreams and see big things. You know what the Lord just did? I know it was kind of a trick thing, but when those hands started coming up, you know what the Lord just did? Hey, you guys over in supply? Get ready. If it's your pea patch, hey, blessing department, health department, you see that? Get ready. Get ready. We got some folk. Heavenly FedEx. Are you ready to be blessed where you are? Are you ready? Are you ready to reap where you didn't sow? That's a God that we serve. Some of us have been so busy going around trying to make things happen when the plan was right here. Oh, I got to make this happen. If I get in position just right, this guy's gonna. I know somebody in this church is already praying that God's gonna put it on somebody's heart to build that building out there. I know somebody in this church right now that's praying and believing that God's gonna do what He said He was gonna do. And I know some people that are like, you know what, we can just if we just move this, move that. And I'm like, don't move nothing. I don't want no Ishmaels floating around here. Every time man tries to help God, how about if we just do it God's way? Amen. You say, well, Pastor, what's the difference if I do it my way or God's way? Success? Right? Success? Have you not read? Have you not heard where David said that he's already wrote my days in his book? Now imagine this. How many of you know that sometimes in writing they do alternate endings? They do alternate endings. In the movie The Man Who Invented Christmas, the initial thought was to have Scrooge dying off in a dead, lonely, decrepit grave. That was ending one. But ending number two, Scrooge would turn his heart to humanity. He would take pity on Tiny Tim. He would start to be the man that God had called him to be. Ending number two, Dickens said, and he kept Christmas as well as any man ever did. There is an alternate ending for you. Abraham had an alternate ending. Ishmael was never a part of it. If Abraham would have sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness and only his righteousness, we wouldn't be where we are today. The world would not be in conflict. I hope that we will learn from this year's key verse, because there's so much promise and so much potential. Potential I've come to know as an electrical term. Anybody know what the electrical definition of potential is? Electronic definition. Oh, I should have said not you too. Energy at rest. If we leave energy at rest, it'll stay at rest. Objects at rest tend to stay at rest. But if we put it in motion, kinetic energy, objects in motion stay in motion. You got to be careful. Just might learn something in church. All right. Okay. Oh, praise the Lord, everybody. Is that exciting?
Yep.
Well, let's give the Lord some praise in this house tonight. Amen. Praise God. Hey, we are glad that you're joining with us. And I'm telling you, we just went through the impromptu opening. And boy, we've had a good time already. Amen, church?
Amen.
And we've got some people here that are excited about the Lord. Amen. And as we're going through the year, and especially this year, the last couple of years, we need, and we're going to begin to emphasize faith that sustains, right? How many of you have had to rely on your faith in the past year? How many of you are coming out of 2021 stronger in your faith than you went into 2021? Amen. Has God revealed himself to you in 2021 going into 2022? And if we, as we talked on Sunday, for most of us, there were trials, there were tribulations. For most of us, there were temptations. For most of us, it was not a cakewalk per se. It was just not a walk down the rosy, flowery path. But God delivered. God delivered. Have you ever wondered what they overcame their adversary by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony meant? Some of us developed a testimony in 2021. Amen. As a body of believers, the river that developed a testimony in 2021. Not only is God got this, but God laid it on people's hearts to bless the work of the ministry. That's a testimony. Unsolicited. Not one of you have ever seen us go on the air and say, oh, we need, you know, $90,000 right now. No. We just told the Lord. We just said, Lord, you know the need. Matter of fact, you told us that you knew the need before we asked. And so, Lord, we're just asking you. We're not gonna belabor it, but Lord, you have the people in place that are able to do it, and Lord, you make it happen, and we're gonna cast all of our cares on you because you care for us, and we're gonna go on about business.
That's right.
I'm not gonna do business as usual, because if you do keep doing the same thing expecting different results, Einstein said that's the watermark of insanity. And I'm looking for the God that's doing a new thing. I'm about ready to get happy. There is so much to be done and so little time to do it. I think, now I'm not saying I'm going to, I might, but I'm not saying that I'm going to say stay up, you know, 24/7 and prayer and intercession. And I would. I might stay up all night for a day or two. That's not a big deal. But as the clock, the hands of time are winding down, we need to redouble our efforts. Thank you, Pastor Burkhart. I'm not making excuses. I'm not making any apologies. Thank you for putting that into us. We need to redouble our efforts because time is running out. We have family that is going to be in hell if we can't reach them. And Lord, and pray that like this, Lord, if I can't reach them, send somebody to them to reach them so that they will make a profession of faith, not a false convert, but a true convert in Jesus' name. If not me, send your servant. Some people say, well, we're the only ones. No, you're not. Don't kid yourself. Elijah got, you know, all built up in himself, and he said, I alone am left. And the Lord said, shut up. Well, he didn't say that. JC said that. But the Lord said, seriously? I've got 5,000 just like you. I want to be one of those that God talks about. How about you? Enoch was found, did you read about Enoch this week or hear about Enoch this week? He pleased God. Are we pleasing God? He pleased God and he walked with God because God took him and he was not found. God said, you know what? I like this guy. Now, what we get into a lot of times is a lot of people want to say, I'm a friend of God, and I've seen how some of y'all treat your friends. I mean, you don't even have to, I don't even have to go to the barbershop. I don't have to go down to the corner gossip. Y'all putting your business out there on Facebook. What happens when my BFF ain't my BFF anymore? Well, why don't you just put that garbage out there on Facebook and see what you come up with? Well, go ahead and put your garbage out there. My nana always told me if you leave the garbage out unprotected overnight, you're going to draw vermin. Bless you. You leave your garbage out, you're going to draw all kinds of undesirable creatures. And sometimes even if you try to hide your garbage and put bricks on them, the raccoons are going to get in them and find a way to get the brick off. You know, the Bible says, love will cover a multitude of sins. We're not to put our business out there. If someone does you wrong, don't turn to Zuckerberg, turn to Jesus. Amen. If someone has wronged you, forgive them and move on with life, because if you don't, it would be like putting yourself in prison for somebody else's crime while they're walking free and don't even realize. Of course, then again, we might have to stop thinking so highly of ourselves. I got news for the majority. The world don't turn around you. I know that's devastating for some of you. So I just lost half of them. The world don't orbit you. And most people don't care. You're giving people the authority to make you have a bad day, to spoil your life, to spoil your month, to spoil your week, whatever. You're giving people the authority to give you a bad day when that belongs to you. Happiness is a choice. And it starts with forgiveness. You say, well, you just don't know what they've done to me. I know what some people have done to me. Matter of fact, I used to have a friend that was an acquaintance anyway. I don't know if how much of a friend he was. He was never real honest. I don't know if I could trust him or not. But man, somebody said something bad about me. He said, you want me to go take care of him? Take care of him like what? You know, you got to be careful. I'll take care of him. I'm not talking bad about you no more. I'm like, dude, no. God's got this. Have you not read when David was pursuing the Philistines, one of Saul's compadres came out and he began to throw rocks at him and he began to call him, you dog! He began to curse him. David, you're a dog. You're a traitor. You're this and you're that and the other thing. And one of David's generals, one of his mighty men, turned around and looked at him and said, you want me to go take care of him both? Now I'm paraphrasing, okay? That's the JCV. JC version. Anyway, David looked at him and said, No, I'm sure in his eyes I am a dog. I'm sure from his perspective, that's what I look like. I'm sure from, you know, and not many chapters over, he's going to come back and that guy's going to be like, hey, you know what, man? When I said those things, I was kind of upset. David said, you know, my grandma would have said it like this. I knew you was just acting a fool. My grandpa would say, well, I hoped you was acting a fool. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And we're going to skip around a little bit tonight because I didn't get all the way through my 40 verses on Sunday. And we're going to skip around a little bit. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. This is the faith chapter. And we talked about on Sunday, and it starts out by saying, now faith. Now faith. And I want to realign our reading because it's not yesterday's faith. If we're walking in faith and we're believing in the word of the Lord and we're trusting in the Lord, then all of our faith for yesterday should have been spent on yesterday. Can I say that? If I'm trusting in the Lord, He gives me just enough faith for today that I need for today. Too many of us try to bank that faith for tomorrow. Think about that. Let that sink in. The Lord said in our key verse, take no thought for what you're going to do, for sufficient for the day is the trouble therein. If our faith from yesterday, if we had any of it left over, guess what? It went to waste. It was just like manna. How many of us, the Lord would say, I would go further. And we're like, you know what, Lord? I just came through one victory. I just got victory over this. I just got victory over that. And the Lord is wanting to take you from just winning a battle to taking a spoil. But we left too much faith on the table. It's how do you exercise your faith? How do we exercise our faith if we don't use except that which is needed? When we go outside of these doors, after we come together for a time of worship and time in the Word, when we go outside these doors, the mission field begins at that door. We enter to worship, we exit to mission. Every day, when we lay down and give an accounting of ourselves tonight, before we sleep, Lord, did I please you today? Did I please you today? It's an amazing thing. We look at in 2 Samuel, we look at the widow's flour barrel and the cruse of oil that never ran out. Until the famine was over, it didn't run out. What does that look like in 2022? If she didn't draw from the flour barrel and she didn't take, she goes, you know what? I better skimp. I better, you know, I'm afraid to touch it. But she'd still have the same measure there, right? But when she poured out the oil and when she emptied out the flour, when she went to get back in it again, guess what? It was full again. Some of us have never exercised our faith in that manner. Oh, we want to pray and we want to believe for big things, healings and financials and all these other things. But every day, if we're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then we're going to be doing that business for the King that He's called us to do, and it's His responsibility to take care of His laborers. This is the faith that sustains. Have you ever felt yourself running low on your faith? You ever felt yourself think, Lord, I just don't know if I can do this or not. Lord, I just don't know. And how many of us, when we get to that point, Lord, I just don't know if I can do this or not. Lord, you've put so much on, right? I just don't know if I'm capable. I just don't know if I'm able. Only to find that when you begin to tell Him, when you begin to cast your cares on Him, that all of a sudden your faith tank goes from E to full and past full a little bit. You know, I love that new thing in Vanessa's car. She's got one of them newfangled cars that says, you know, 337 miles to E. I look down there, man, it ain't even that far. 337 miles right there. You know, it's like one of those scales on a map, you know. So you take that and you go over here to the map. No, it didn't work that way. The problem with the church is that we haven't been exercising our faith. Some of us have untried faith. Some of us believe that God can, but we don't know how to get Him to move on our behalf. We had a prayer request come in, and I'm just telling you what the guy said, okay? Not that we're anything. Prayer request come in, and he said, I needed to get to you because I know God hears your prayer. I'm like, well, thank you for the vote of confidence. Hung up the phone, told Vanessa, I said, there have been times I wondered. He said, no, I know God hears your prayer. Have you ever wondered if God hears your prayer? Have you ever wondered, have you ever struggled with something? Have you ever been in the valley and God seems to have walked away? I'm not going to say He abandoned you, but He walked away from you for a minute. The other day, we had the granddaughters, and the other day, I walked into the other room and they were preoccupied with their toys on the floor and they were doing something and as long as Pawpaw was in the room, they were perfect. But Willow looked up and noticed that Pawpaw was gone. And she said, Pawpaw? Pawpaw? Where are you? And she wasn't content to just say it. Too many times when we're praying, we're saying, Lord, I don't know where you are. Lord, I don't know where. Lord, and she wasn't content just to sit in the living room and call for Papa, who she could no longer see. She got up and said, did you come this way? And I didn't. I was in the other room. And she backed up and she goes, "Papa, did you come this way?" And I think as believers, a lot of times we need to say, "Lord, I'm not feeling you as close as I did before. Which way did you go, Lord? I think we're separated a little bit here. Lord, did you go this way? Lord, did you go that way? Where did you go, Lord? Because I'm out of position. And I'm not comfortable when I'm not in your presence." Oh, that right there. Church, we should never be comfortable if we're not in his presence. We become overall too comfortable in being in the presence of the world and the adversary, and we're uncomfortable being in the presence of God. And I think that we need to change that in 2022 to say, "Lord, I'm not comfortable in the presence of the world, but I need to be in your presence because I don't feel right outside of your presence." Now faith. Not faith for yesterday. You remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and the Lord said, "I'm going to send you manna." Manna, Hebrew meaning, what is it? You know, what is it? I don't know, but it tasted good. He said, "Now you can only pick up enough for the day. Only pick up enough for the day. Don't try to save any over for tomorrow. For if you do, when they looked into their pots, your Bible says that it was full of worms and it stunk." And have we tried to save over our faith for tomorrow? You see, Jesus said that the Old Testament, the old was the schoolmaster teaching us. The Apostle Paul said that. The Old Testament was the schoolmaster. It taught us how to move and breathe in the new covenant. Jesus said, "You search the scriptures, for in them you have eternal life," and it's true. He said, but the Apostle Paul said, but the old covenant was a schoolmaster. The old temple was a shadow, a foreshadow of things to come. Now, looking at it like that, how many times do we do the same things that the Hebrews did and expect different results? If sufficient for the day is the trouble they're in, can I make a connection for you? Because I think we may be leaving something out. Trouble directly connects to sin. Sufficient for the day is the sin therein. Right? But where sin abounds, there grace much more abounds. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, count it all joys when you fall into various trials and temptation. Because when you're falling into those things, and when the world's coming against you, when sin stacks itself, its ugly head against you, you're going to get more grace added to you for that day. You're going to get more power added to you for that day. You're going to start exercising your faith because you know what's coming. But the church doesn't know that. The church is not aware of that. The church is like, "Oh, Lord, rapture me. Let me get us out of here. Lord, be..." That's why R.W. Shambach one time said, a guy came up and said, I just want you to pray over me whatever God's will is. Just whatever the will of God is, I'm fine with it." And so he said, "Really?" He said, "He said, you're a rare bird." He said, you just want me to pray whatever..." He said, "Lord, kill him! No, don't pray like that." He said, "Well, the Lord wants you to go to heaven. It's not his will that any should perish. And I figured since you're standing this close right now..." You got to love R.W. I can't wait to talk things over with him in heaven. I only got to say hi to him one time. He said, "Lord, kill him." Well, that'll change something. That'll shake somebody's salt shaker, won't it? That'll get the pepper a-flowing. "No, I didn't mean that." Well, what do you mean? All right. Now, faith. If we're going to get through this year, we need to be able to have faith that is now present in the moment. Now, right now. You see, the problem that most people have is they have a misconception of what faith is. Most people have a misconception of how faith responds. Most people, they really haven't studied to show they're self-approved a workman and need not be ashamed. They really haven't studied it, but they know what preacher Bobby says. They know what preacher whatever says. But you got to know for yourself. Your Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling before God. What faith looks like to you may be something different to me. Right? One time I was on a trip, and it wasn't my vehicle, and it was a big truck, and kind of like my vehicle, and a little bit newer than my vehicle, and I was on a trip, and we were down around Evansville, and the you know the little Vanessa light in my truck, the little light that comes on, lights up the gas tank. You know that Vanessa light, you guys don't have one? Connie light, Denise light, something like that. Anyway, the Vanessa light comes on. And it was a new highway, and the interchanges hadn't been built yet, and it was like 50 miles, and the 25-mile light came on. People were getting worried. I said, Lord, are we going to make it? We're good. Let's go. Hammer down. People were getting concerned. A little light starts flashing or whatever it did, you know. Truck's getting thirsty. Next gas, 10 miles. I don't know. What are we going to do? We've got to find a gas right up there. Get there, pull in. We turn the truck off. It don't turn off on its own. We turn it off. Fill her up with gas and head home. How did you know? Now, faith. How did you know? The light said, but God said. The light said, but God said. I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, Jeremiah 29. Plans to bless you, not to curse you. Too many people want to make God out to be the damner, but he is the blesser. He, as I said last week, he is the life bringer, the life giver. Too many people are too preoccupied with death. My death has been settled. I want you to know this right now. I've already died. Somewhere at home in a box in the garage. I've got a certificate where I was buried in water baptism and raised again, a new creature in Jesus Christ. My death is settled. I've got one more address change. And when we go, the angels will move me next time. I won't have to bother you all. I won't have to trouble you. It's settled. My account has been paid in full. You see, we need to learn to rest in that. Now, faith. If you don't see me tomorrow, stay the course. If tomorrow the sun comes up without me, stay the course. It's worth it. He's worth it. Stay the course. Now, faith. You say, well, gosh, that's pretty... It's cut and dry. You know, as the Apostle Paul said, we've been talking about this for years, and the Lord is bringing it around the full bear. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, faith. Well, what does now faith do? It gives us the substance of things hoped for. Do you know what substance is? You can hold substance in your hand. If anything is of substance, you can touch it. You can depend on it. You can bank on it. You can use it as collateral. Maybe not down at the world system, but we've got collateral in the faith bank in heaven. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Skipping on down to verse number 6. Now faith. We have to have now faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please Him. I want to be pleasing unto God. Remember Enoch? He pleased God. He pleased God. Before the Holy Spirit was given, he pleased God. That means in his natural man, in the Adamic nature, he pleased God. I think we're worlds apart, he and I. Because I battle that there is no temptation given under man, which is such as common to man. I battle with that. But Enoch pleased God. And he was not found because God took him. Somebody in your Bible reading today, had it ever dawned upon you? We talk about how, you know, Noah had worked for 120 years on the ark. Did that ever? But the man didn't have kids until he was 600 some years old. And then he went out and built an ark. Now, if you're 600 some years old, we'll give you a pass, okay? But up until then, let's pick up our hammer and be about working on a building. Working on a building, we're working on a building. Working on a building for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building, a Holy Ghost building. We're working on a building. Isn't that what John Bevere told us? We're working on God's house. We're working on God's house. Noah didn't have the privilege to start until his boys come. And then he worked on it 120 years, and I think probably he took a break. He's probably ready to go in and sit down. That's why he didn't close the door. He was, you know, sitting there on a break. I think I'll take a 15-minute break, and he looked up, and the door's closed. That's faster than Walmart shuts out the lights. All right. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who lackadaisically seek him. Casually seek him. Those who go to church if there ain't no fishing tournament. Those that'll maybe go to church or maybe catch the live broadcast from the boat. From the deer stand. From the golf course. From American Table having breakfast on Sunday. Those who diligently seek him. I remember one time, one of the places that I worked, you could get wrote up for failure to work diligently. They did that today. Half these companies would be empty. I just old management creeping in there, sorry. I was talking with a guy today, and he's about my age, and he said, people today, you just can't get them to work. Yeah. My dad, I thought when I grew up, my dad, he taught me to work. And I thought, Dad, you work at, we were cutting wood on Thanksgiving. I'm like, Dad, all my buds are playing basketball. All my buds are down. He said, you're going to appreciate this one of these days. You're going to appreciate that. You're going to learn to appreciate this. And I've been working since I was 9 years old. I was working on the farm, pulling hay wagons up at 9 years old. And at 10, I asked my dad if I could use our riding lawnmower, and I was mowing the neighbor's lawn. I rented myself out as a rototiller. I was hoeing gardens. And I tell you what, our one neighbor, man, he said, you cut into my beans or you cut any of my corn down, you're going to replant them. He'd later come down and tell my dad, he said, you taught that boy right. He hoed that garden better than I could. Now, that was a kind of a mistake because I kind of hemmed around when I was hoeing dad's garden. It was a little bit different when I was getting, you know, $15. Yeah. I've never not had the ability to work. And because of that, people wanted to be in my crew. Because I'm not someone that says, hey, you do this and you do this, and I'm gonna go back here and sit at the desk and make sure it's all done. I'm right there, hands-on. I determined that there was not going to be anything in the job processes that I wouldn't be able to do. It means you have to pay attention. You have to learn. You have to watch. Do you realize that your entire Bible was handed down as old men sat around talking about the scripture? This is before it was written. As old men sat down and began to talk about it, and they brought their young men and their boys with them. And the stories were passed from generation to generation, orally. The attention span today of kids under 20, don't think 15 minutes, because that was a while back. 8 minutes. And unless you can entertain them, it's less than that. Unless you can entertain them. Generally speaking, I'm not saying everybody, but generally speaking. Where are the scholars going? Where are the students going? Where are those who can work with their hands? And you say, well, why is that important, Pastor? Because your Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it as though you were working for the Lord. Sorry, gamers. Ain't it? Sorry. Doesn't happen. All right. By faith, Noah, being verse number 7, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to that place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Jacob, and the heirs with him of the same promise. Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him. For he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker not was God, is God. Present tense. Now is present tense. Now is present tense. God is still God. And if we're going to have that faith that will sustain us in this year, we've got to have now faith in a now God. Amen? Amen. By faith, Sarah. Again, this is the faith chapter. The faith chapter all of these. Verse number 13 is kind of peculiar right in the middle of this chapter. These all died in faith. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. In 2020, 2021, the church was too comfortable. The church was too rooted here. We're looking for a city that John saw coming down out of heaven, adorned like a bride. We're just passing through. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in the world, and we're trying to change people's eternal destination. Consider it, if you will, we are ticket agents, travel agents for that city that Abraham was seeking, whose foundations were made by God. Who John saw coming down out of heaven. We are travel agents. We're sojourners. We're pilgrims here. We had some men of God pass away last year, and I thought, how ironic. Died in sight, with the goal in sight. Died in sight of the goal. But if you read that verse, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. I remember in ...2019 when my mom passed away. Just before she would leave this earth, she couldn't talk. They had her ventilated. They had her heavily sedated. She could only squeeze your hand. But she looked up from that hospital room, from that bed. She looked up, and there was a gleam in her eyes that I hadn't seen in years. Because she saw the promise. She saw the promise. The nurse said, she was in hospice, and the nurse, they know. It's not going to be, you go home, get some rest. It's not tonight. Maybe tomorrow, but not tonight. And around 5:30 on Sunday morning, we used to sing a song that said, "Send your best angels for my mama." But that's not what your Bible says. You see, Jesus said, "I go to prepare you a place. And if I go, I will come again and receive you." This is not a collective term, it's an individual, you. If it had been you all, he said, you. I'm fully convinced that on Sunday morning, February the 10th, unbeknownst to everyone in the room, there may have been angels around, but she saw her Savior. He came into that room because he made her a promise. He made you a promise. I'm going to prepare you a place. And I'm going to go and prepare it, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to receive you individually. Remember what Glenn says when you see you in the Word? He said, JC, I'm going to go prepare you a place. And if I go, JC, I'm going to come back and receive JC. Now, faith. As a believer in Christ, as a faith-filled, spirit-filled believer in Christ, this question has been posed 1,000 times. What would you do? What would you do, believer? What would you do for the Lord if you knew that you couldn't fail? If the Lord tells you to do it, remember what Pastor used to say, Pastor Burkhart? If the Lord says to jump through that wall, your obligation is to jump. God's obligation is to make the hole. We need to quit beating our heads in walls that God didn't tell us to go jump through. We need to quit. You know, why? And this is strictly for American Christians, basically, but why should God give us thousands of chances when there's people in this world that haven't even heard the name of Jesus yet? Yet in America, in Kosciuszko County, all around, some people watching this broadcast, you've rejected Him time and time and time again. Why should God give us another chance? There are still people being killed, murdered for their faith in Afghanistan, and we can't make up our mind whether or not we want to go to church or not. We can't make up our mind whether or not God is real or not. I just can't make up my mind. I'm afraid you already have. And some, I pray it's not so, but some may never hear the calling of the Holy Spirit again. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. And no man comes to me except the Spirit which sent me draw him. I hope and pray I'm not talking to someone who has rejected God's invitation for the last time. I pray that's not the case. If you think you have, if you think that's you, let me just tell you something. It's not. You know why? Because if you had, you wouldn't be thinking that thought. If you had, you wouldn't be thinking, oh, it's too late for me. If you had, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't care. You wouldn't be looking, searching for answers. The fact that you're looking says that God's invitation is still open. We'd like to see you here at the River in 2022. We'd like to get the opportunity to present you and to invite you and to introduce you to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We got faith that sustains. Now faith. How's your faith? How's your faith? I don't know who you're going to see this, and I don't know where. But just remember what the writer of Proverbs said. There's a way that seems right to a man. It seems right. It feels right. But the end. The end is death. Doesn't matter how many scriptures you post, doesn't matter how many likes you give, doesn't matter a thing. What matters is, has there been a heart change in you? Is your heart hard following after God? Not following after your own pursuits, after God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Too many people just want the kingdom, but they don't want the righteousness. Too many people want to say, oh, I'm blessed. You truly are. You had another day. Did you accept him or not? If you were blessed, if you had another day today, you were blessed. But did you accept him or not? Because you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Father, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, I just ask right now that those who hear this message, either on the FM or the live broadcast, if they don't know you, if they don't know for sure, Lord, I just ask that you would begin to quicken into their spirit and let them know either they're walking away from you or contrary to you, or whether they're in the fold. And only you can tell them that, Lord. Men will tell us we're okay when we're not. Men will try to convince us that we're right and we're not. The doctrines of men make the gospel of no effect. Lord, we want your spirit to reveal to our hearts right now. Reveal our heart to us right now. Am I walking pleasing unto you? Am I walking a life worthy of the calling that you have placed on us? In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen. Come back Sunday. Still, faith that sustains. 2022.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at The River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.